If you're a member of the workforce, you know what it means to give your all. In fact, it feels good to put in a hard day's work. But what if your boss is, well, a real jerk? Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll concludes message number 11 in his 12-part series called What If? In this study, we're focused on how to respond when an employer takes all the fun out of our work. Sometimes it's not the compensation we crave. What we long for is respect and gratitude. Chuck titled today's message, What If Your Boss Is Unfair and Disrespectful?
Under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, Moses is led to write the word work and connect it with creation. If work is evil, God's doing what's evil, and he cannot do that because he is holy. God said everything he made was good. God called his creation good, very good, end of chapter 1. And then he calls it work in chapter 2, his work of creation, and he gives man a job to do regarding the animals and the birds and the fish, along with a garden he is to tend and watch over it. So since God cannot do anything inherently wrong or bad, the work is good. And what he gives Adam to do is good. Let me give you four statements that I think will help kind of round out our theology of work. Here they are. Number one, Jesus Christ is Lord over all of life. Jesus Christ is Lord over all of life. There is nothing you can name that he's not Lord of. He is sovereign in control of all of life. He cares immensely about what each one of us do every day. Here's the second. This is going to shock some of you. Life is not divided into two separate categories, secular and sacred. There is no such distinction in the scriptures. He does not call this secular and that sacred. No job you hold is unimportant or less important than anyone else's. It would be helpful for you to remember that what I do is in no sense greater or of more importance than what you do. I'm simply carrying out my calling just as you are carrying out your calling. But help for you to realize that your work is your calling. That's why we spend so much time seeking the right place to serve, because it is the calling of God in our lives. This brings me to the third. The nature of work is good, not evil. The nature of work is good, not evil. We are co-workers with God. He sees it as valuable that what you are doing in his eyes is his will. The nature of work is good, not evil. And the fourth, I would add, the way you do your work is a direct reflection on the one who called you to it. The way you do your work is a reflection on the one who called you to it. That may be convicting for some of you because you don't do your work well. The reason you don't do it well is because you don't think it's that important. No one has ever helped you understand that God's ordination, if you will, rests upon you and your work. Now then, let's look at the roles of Christians in the workplace. I want you to look at two sections, two letters, Colossians chapter 3. We're going to get to Peter, I know, but just for a few moments. Colossians chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 6. Okay, locate both. Look at Colossians 3:17 and then drop down to verse 23. You got it? 3:17. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. You got it? Verse 23. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Being a Christian in the workplace does not remove the challenges of that workplace. Being a Christian doesn't exempt you from losing your top employee to a competitor. It doesn't remove you from going through a financial crunch, maybe bankruptcy, or being ripped off by your employer, or a fellow employee, or even being laid off or fired. There's no magic in your calling in this world. Now then, quickly, let's look first at Christians who work for leaders, okay, while at the same time serving Christ. Look first at Colossians 3:22. You're there. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Now, in those days, there were slaves and masters. Don't try to right all the wrongs right now. Don't get hung up on that, or you'll never go any further. Think of employee and boss. You say, that fits, slavery and master. That's where I work. Slaves, obey your earthly masters. That's all right. You are the one who works there. You're the employee. Your master is your superior. You answer to someone in your work. Obey your earthly masters in everything you do. So you're to be cooperative. Are you cooperative in your work? If you're not, you are a poor representative of Christ. You have a good attitude when you're at the job. If you don't, you're a poor representative of the Savior. No wonder people don't listen when you witness to them. Your attitude is blocking their interest in your life. In fact, it says regarding the master, try to please them all the time, not just while they're watching you. Do you just do a good job while you're being watched? If you are, you're a poor representative. You're doing it for people. You're not serving Christ. You forget that he's watching over everything. It says serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Serve them sincerely. There's another guideline. Be a person who is trustworthy. You work willingly. You work sincerely. You're working for the Lord rather than for people. That's your real master. Some of you will remember the story I told about Dr. Howie Hendricks. When he was on a plane and this guy next to him was making a scene and he had too much to drink and he was hard to handle, and the flight attendant working alongside was very patient and gracious, and the guy was obnoxious and began to curse, and he became an irritant to people around him, and she never lost her cool. She continued to bring him to help him and then finally get him settled down. Afterwards, Dr. Hendricks got up and walked back to the galley, and he said, can I talk to you for a minute? She said, yes, you may. He said, I want to thank you for the great job you're doing. In fact, I'd like your name, because I want to write the president of American Airlines and give him your name. She said, oh, don't do that, please. I said, well, why not? She said, because I don't work for American Airlines. I work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? She's got it right. If she worked for American Airlines, she'd slug the guy back there in the seat. Or she'd feel like it. She'd have lost her cool a long time ago. But when you serve Christ, it's amazing what it does to your patience. It changes your whole attitude, and you begin to do it willingly, not because you have to do it. Go back to Ephesians 6. Hold your place. Colossians, we'll be right back. Ephesians 6, very similar list. Verse 5. Slaves, obey your earthly, let's read it like today. Employees, obey your earthly employer with deep respect and fear. Do you respect your employer? No wonder you're not getting promoted. No wonder your attitude shows up. If you were in the military, you'd lose a rank because you salute rank. And if you see a star on a shoulder, you better whip a salute out right quick. You're standing in front of a general, for goodness sake. And if you're a captain, you walk alongside a major or a colonel, you whip out a salute because you're outranked. You don't know what the character is of the person inside the uniform. It doesn't matter. You respect the position, the rank that they now have earned and where. That's what he has in mind. He says, obey your masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely, he says again in this letter, as you would serve Christ. Try to please them all time, not just when they are watching you. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. There it is again. Do it with all your heart. It's great to watch someone working in your yard, and you see how hard they're working, and you realize later, even though the sun was hot, the ground was hard, they stayed at it till they got the job done. You find out later, that person's a believer. And the way that person does the yard work is a is a reflection on that person's faith in Christ. Or you may work in electronics or in the realm of something completely different. It's all the same. Now, so much for those who work for leaders and what a difference those attitudes make. How about those who are the leaders themselves? They work as leaders. Back to Colossians 4, look at verse 1. Masters, be just and fair to your slaves. Bosses, be fair to your employees. Let me ask a very personal question. Do you pay them what you should? Is your pay scale fair? Do you compare it with competitors? If you do and you're not doing what is at least medium or above medium, you're not being fair. No wonder you have trouble with your employees. So you devote yourself to what is fair to your employees. Remember that you also have a master in heaven. No one operates without a master. Every one of us is accountable. It's amazing. I'll just be personal here. I'm accountable to a group of people called elders. And my life is an open book to those elders. We meet at least once a month, and regularly they're free to ask me anything, and I'm free to report whatever. If they have concerns, they bring it to my attention, because I'm not the boss. Furthermore, they're not the boss. We serve the boss. But they serve as elders, as my responsible person to whom I'm accountable. Otherwise, I have blind spots, and I'm not aware of it. I've had many very deep conversations with those who serve as our church leaders, and I hold them in highest regard. And they do that with me. It's the way it ought to be. We also have masters in heaven. In fact, he goes on to say to devote yourself to prayer. As a leader, do you pray regarding your company? Do you pray for your employees? Do you know them by name? Do you pray for their families? When they're sick, do you care? It makes all the difference in the world when you're a boss like that. It's what Christ would be if he were in your position. Now, one more turn to these sections in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7. Look at this. Work with enthusiasm, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember, the Lord will reward each one of you for the good we do. Enthusiasm. I love it when I find people enthusiastic about their work. I just love it. I was at a car dealership not long ago, and I was watching a man that was selling a particular model of car, and he was so excited. And I said to him later, "Boy, you really like your job." He said, "Man, I've got a great product. You want one?" I mean, he was all excited about it, enthusiastic about it. It's just a car. No, it's not. It's not just a car. It's to you and your work what the Bible is to me and my work. It's the product of your involvement. When you see that, you will realize what a privilege it is to serve in that capacity. Now, the Lord may move you from one place to another. That's fine. He's free to do that. The real difficulty comes when the boss is unfair and disrespectful to you. How about that? 1 Peter chapter 2, and Mark, by the way, James 4. Just hold on to that. I'll come to it before I'm through. 1 Peter 2, this is going to shock you, and I'll tell you behind the scenes. Verse 13, chapter 2, for the Lord's sake, respect all human authority, whether the king is head of state or the officials he's appointed. You know who the head of state was when Peter wrote this? Nero. Nero. He didn't respect Nero. He respected the position that Nero held. Got it? Got the picture? Now, he says in verse 18, you who are slaves must accept the authority of your masters. So start there. And by the way, it's very difficult with some who are extremely depraved in their approach to life. I got an interesting book in my library. Once in a while, I pull it down. It's called Snakes in Suits. Isn't that a great title? Snakes in Suits. And it describes people in the workplace that are marked by deception and narcissism and abuse and deliberate unfair treatment and selfishness. They're snakes. Nero was a snake of the worst kind. And Peter writes what he says. Now, let me clarify some of this for the sake of calming you, because some of you are thinking of all those tough questions of what if. There are times you must resist. I could go on with this, but you've already heard it read, and you understand that even if they are cruel, you do your best to work with them in a cooperative way. However, there are times you must resist. When would that be? I've got three of them written down. You may want to write them down. Number one, when you're called upon to do what is inherently wrong. You don't have to do that. When you're called upon to do something that is inherently wrong, Daniel was told to worship Nebuchadnezzar. He would not do it. He would not bow before an idol, resulted in his being thrown in the lion's den. You may lose your job. Congratulations. It's a good reason for being fired. You refuse to do what is wrong. You may be involved in something and you realize that your boss really is in human trafficking. And you know that's wrong. You won't cooperate with it. You won't have anything to do with it. Pornography, another one. Peter and John were told, silence, no more preaching in the streets. To them, that was the wrong thing to require. They went right on. They were beaten for it. And on I could go. Number one, when you are called upon to do what is inherently wrong, resist it. Number two, when your conscience is being violated, you know in your heart this is not right. Your conscience is being violated. James 4, verse 7, there's your verse. It's a great verse, but it's the wrong one. So humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. It must be the last verse of that one. Yeah, there it is. Whew. Thanks, Lord. Look at verse 17. Nothing like making a massive mistake in front of everybody, but of course, my job doesn't depend on winning or losing, so I can't worry about that. Look at verse 17. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. That's the conscience. You know in your conscience you ought to do it or you ought not do it. That's when you resist, when your conscience is being violated. Here's a third one. This is very helpful. When innocent people will be affected by your doing evil. When innocent people will be affected, that can happen in the workplace. You please the Lord in those cases. You don't please the leader. There's a price to pay. You may lose your position. You may lose your rank. That can happen in a home. If you have a husband that is molesting your children, what are you doing keeping your children in that home? You resist a husband like that. You stand against that criminal act. You turn him in. You do not have that person in control over you. By the way, even when you do the hard thing, Proverbs 16:7, put that in the margin. When a person's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Isn't that a great verse? When your ways please the Lord, he makes ultimately will make enemies be at peace with you. I've seen it happen. All of us wish we lived in an ideal world. I certainly do, but we don't. So let's live in the world of reality. I conclude with a few simple remarks. God's ultimate goal for every one of his children is to make us like Christ. Listen to that. It is to conform us into Christ's image, whatever that may take. He will use anything in life to make that happen. Everything in the workplace can help us develop the character of Christ. Everything. And I've listed some things that are examples. The evils of this world, the people we cannot stand to be around, the bosses that are unfair, the tension and the pressure that accompanies your work, the financial reversals can play a part in conforming you to Christ. The so-called sure deals that fell through and disappoint you are a part of your being conformed to Christ. The people who make your life miserable, the demotions, even though you really deserved a promotion, the other person getting credit for what you did, the traffic on the way home as well as to work, the long, tedious afternoons, overtime hours that don't seem fair, being overlooked as others are rewarded, even the need to quit a position due to someone else's fault. We have just begun to develop a theology of work. May it continue on in your life. Think it through. Give attention to your place of employment. And for goodness sake, do a job that honors the Savior. If you must continue to do wrong to be on this team, you're on the wrong team. Change team. Final word, God is sovereign. God is not unaware. God is God, and you are not. Remember that. God is God, and I am not. Will you say that with me? God is God, and I am not. Some of you said the first thing, but you didn't say the second. Do them together. Here we go. God is God. And I am not. Lord, we'll live a lifetime before some will really learn the truth of that, unfortunately. There will be some who leave today who will go right back to work and continue to be a thorn in someone's side. However, I have to believe there will be some who will take stock of their lives and begin a change. That's long overdue. Use us as great witnesses for Christ, not just in the church where we serve, but in the place where we work. And then as you open the door for us to speak of the Savior, may we do so intelligently and reasonably and with integrity. Set us apart, we pray, to be good workmen and women in your vineyard across this world until you return for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Whether it's a boss who mistreats you or an employer who disappoints you, sometimes life seems so unfair, so random. Well, you're listening to Insight for Living and a message from Chuck Swindoll posing the relevant question, what if your boss is unfair and disrespectful? To purchase the entire classic series containing today's complete message and 11 others, just go to insightworld.org and look for the title, What If? As a global media ministry, there's nothing we enjoy more than hearing from our listeners. It's not reaching the masses that drives us. Actually, we enjoy touching one life at a time. Every single listener, every comment is important to us, including yours. Well, one of the consistent themes we hear is this. People are craving to attend a church where God's Word is respected as the final authority. Chuck, in light of this feedback over the years, I'm sensing a growing frustration in many churches today.
Well, that's true, Dave. As I speak with churchgoers, not only in North America, but around the globe, I'm finding that Christians have grown disillusioned with the postmodern church. Have you noticed the trend as well? Pastors and worship leaders alike seem to give far more attention to entertaining their congregation rather than making disciples. And there are exceptions, but that's the tragedy. They're the exceptions, not the rule. Many of today's preachers deliver junk food sermons that satisfy only emotional cravings rather than helpful and nutritional meals that build spiritual muscle. The outcome is truly tragic. Honestly, not a week passes without people who write me or speak to me after a worship service. They tell me how they long to attend a place that honors God. Tragically, they live in places where solid, Bible-believing churches are rare, some of them completely non-existent. If you can relate, then I've written a book to help you. If you're longing for something more, something better, if you're leaving your church Sunday morning somewhat disappointed with the service, perhaps even bored, I want you to read The Church Awakening. Once you embrace God's glorious design for His church, you'll never be willing to accept anything else. Though you may be disenchanted with the postmodern church, there's no reason to feel defeated. Our best days are ahead of us. You can begin today. In fact, you must begin today.
This is a book that belongs on your reading list, and it's yours when you give a donation of any amount to support the ministry of Insight for Living. You choose the appropriate size of your gift, and in return, we'll be pleased to send you Chuck's book, The Church Awakening. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org. In addition, Chuck delivered a message that'll become another source of refreshment to you. On the CD, he presents a compelling case for the importance of God-centered worship in our churches. It's titled, Worship, Let It Shine, Let It Shine. Enjoy listening and then pass it along to a friend. For a free copy of the CD, just give us a call or go online. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/shine. This offer is valid only in the United States. I'm Dave Spiker. Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll poses the question, what if you were to die tonight? That's Wednesday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, What If Your Boss Is Unfair and Disrespectful, was copyrighted in 2013, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2015 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.